Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Regression or progression? Tight end edition. Next on Fantasy Football Today in 5. Welcome to FFT in 5. I'm Chris Towers. I'm here with Dan Schneier. We're talking about some tight ends, taking a look at what they did last season and whether we think they're going to be better or worse than they were a year ago. And, you know, we just recorded, you heard it on your feed on Friday, some bounce back stuff. And we talked about Mark Andrews. I don't think we need to go into him. I think everybody expects him to be better this season than he was last season. But let's start with one of the big surprises of last season, TJ Hawkinson, who ended up being the number 4 tight end in points per game. He was the number 2 tight end in overall scoring last season, obviously played a huge role after that trade to Minnesota. Do we think he's going to be better or worse in 2023?
I'm going to go with worse here, Chris. I just think what we're looking at this Minnesota team, a lot of what we saw with Hawkinson last year was volume-based. Mm-hmm. Now you bring in Jordan Addison, who quite clearly at this stage of his career versus Adam Thielen is going to offer you more from a separation standpoint than Thielen could give Minnesota last year. And so I think Addison kind of becomes, and especially in the ways that Addison wins, it's in similar areas to where Hawkinson wins. It's those layup routes, as I like to call them, those get open quick and present a target right away for the quarterback so he doesn't have to hold on to the football. So if that rapport starts to build with Cousins and Addison early, that's when I think you start to jump off the Hawkinson trade. To me, he's not worth the premium price that it costs to get him.
Yeah, I mostly agree with that. I think he's, it's always tough when you're talking about the tight end position, because when you're playing fantasy football, like I play and analyze fantasy baseball, and the rosters are so much bigger, right? You're starting 23 players in a roto league. In fantasy football, you're starting 9, and it's a kicker and a defense. So like you're actually good players. There's only a handful of spots for them. And I want as many possible difference makers as I can in each spot. And TJ Hawkinson, like, it's nice to have a tight end that you just don't have to worry about, right? Like he's probably going to get like 8 points at minimum every game. He's going to catch 4 passes for 40 yards in his worst games, right? And you'll get the occasional, you know, 8 catches for 90 yards and a touchdown kind of game from him. But like, he's probably not going to be a consistent difference maker. And that's a tough player to invest in, especially if it's going to cost, you know, a 5th round pick like it might with Hawkinson. So that's a tough one. A guy who certainly has difference making potential, and I think, I don't want to speak for you, but I certainly assume Kyle Pitts is going to take a big step forward from where he was last season. What do you think?
This is a tough one for me, Chris. I love Kyle Pitts as a prospect. I've been in your camp. We've both been drafting him way too much the past 2 seasons. I just know it in auction leagues. I've gone crazy. I've put him in but I love the talent, but I am very concerned that Desmond Ridder will be as bad as Marcus Mariota was as a passer. And now we have Bijan Robinson in the mix there in Atlanta, who's going to take a lot more touches than the Atlanta backs took last year on a percentage basis, who potentially could be a lot more involved in the passing game than those backs were last year. And I don't know if I see the pie like for him to get where he needs to go to become this fantasy difference maker. So I am very concerned with Kyle Pitts. Obviously, if you just looked at it season long, he's going to be better because he was injured last year. But on a per game basis, I'm going to say same.
Yeah. The one thing I will point out is, you know, Ridder in his 4 starts averaged, it was right around 5 to 6 pass attempts per game more than Marcus Mariota. And you know, that doesn't sound like a huge difference, but over the course of the season, you're talking about 100 plus passes. So, you know, that's where I think even if not much changes, even if Desmond Ridder isn't very good, I do think Kyle Pitts, he'll get back to the 800 yard range, I think. But, you know, whether he can get to 65 yards per game, I think that's a different question. What about Darren Waller? Progression or regression from him?
I hate to answer these questions with the Giants stuff in my background, but I can only see progression going forward with Darren Waller. He's already been taking really well to the coaching and to the system. He's picked it up fast. He, in OTAs just recently today when we're recording, he was the star of OTAs. That means nothing. They're in shorts and shells. I get it. But Daniel Jones is like, I haven't had a 6'6" player my entire career, and he's a true 6'6". And I just feel like what we saw last year with Brian Daboll and Mike Kafka was they found a way to maximize Daniel Bellinger, Daniel Hudson, they had Lawrence Cager off waivers in the red zone who were scoring touchdowns for them. So in the red zone specifically, that's where they really shine with these tight ends. We saw Kafka do it with Travis Kelce, obviously, in some of those backup tight ends when he was with the Chiefs. So I just think Waller has a really good chance to get to double digit touchdowns. And that alone makes you, you know, makes him gonna gives him progression from last season.
The one thing I would point out is this is a 31-year-old or soon to be 31-year-old who has missed a decent amount of time over the past couple of seasons with soft tissue injuries.
Yep.
He also hasn't had more than 80 or hasn't had 80 yards or more in a game since week 11 of the 2021 season. So, you know, it's not just bouncing back. It's, you know, staying healthy. And obviously the opportunity is there, but I'm not 100% convinced that I want to pay a premium for him. What about Evan Engram coming off a career best season with the Jaguars? Do you think he's going to be better or worse in 2023?
Regression for sure here, Chris. There's not enough balls to go around that Jaguars offense. Mm-hmm. A lot of talented players. Calvin Ridley comes back into the mix. Trevor Lawrence takes a progression from a passing standpoint, starts to throw more downfield. A lot of those layup throws that were going to Engram are no longer going to Engram. They're going to Ridley or even Christian Kirk on the vertical plane. So, look, I think it's going to be, he's still going to have some blow up games, but they're going to be, he's going to be a much better best ball player.
Yeah, he had that 3-game stretch where he caught 11, 8, and 7 passes from weeks 14 through 16. You look at the games that were around that one, it was 1 catch for 4 yards, 5 catches for 30 yards, 1 catch for 16 yards, and then had 1 good playoff game, 1 bad playoff game. So yeah, I think we kind of remember the big blow up during the fantasy playoffs, and that might make us think that Evan Engram was a little better than he was. But yeah, I don't expect him to take a step forward. And with the addition of Calvin Ridley, I think it's entirely possible he's a little worse next season. So again, not a guy that I want to pay any kind of premium for with Evan Engram. If he falls to me, I'm okay with it. But that's going to do it for FFT and 5. We'll see you tomorrow.
It's the most all-star studded challenge ever. And this time, it's every competitor for themselves.
Best challenge ever!
The Challenge All-Stars. New season now streaming on Paramount+. Go to ParamountPlus.com to try it free. Terms apply.